Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the best-selling author of books like John Dies at the End, Zoe Punches the Future in the Dick, and the newly released fourth book in the John Dies at the End franchise, If This Book Exists, You're in the Wrong Universe. He's my former co-worker at Crack.com, co-creator of the Cracked podcast. Welcome back to the show, Jason Pargin!
So once again, we did not have a horrible tragedy break out right before I was about to come on, which is something that I never want to happen on a show where I'm going to be promoting my book, because it should be on like the day after a clear national tragedy or some sort of a terrible event that we've been forced to spend the entire episode talking about.
Yeah.
And then at the very end of it, having to say, well, and also if in this trying time, if you want to be distracted with you know, a piece of like humorous cosmic horror.
Yeah.
I have written a novel that will, but again, you don't, please don't feel pressured. Like on, this is a day of mourning.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like the worst day to have come on to promote a book that is a like humor, cosmic horror novel. Like we recorded through January 6th. Like January 6th was happening on our TVs as we were recording. That was pretty, that would have been pretty distracting, I guess.
Yeah, that was a little bit tough, for sure.
At least there was the element of the ridiculous, like the guy in like the buffalo horns and stuff like that. Like it was obviously horrible, but also there was still plenty that people were making fun of. So it would have to be some truly like another, I don't know, a mass shooting involving a school or something. So, but it does not look like, now, not to jinx it.
Right.
Nope.
But,
this doesn't come out until tomorrow. So this episode might just be completely unusable.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, the Lakers and the Sixers were robbed
recently. Oh my God. That was a tragedy, but we'll get into that in the
podcast. We're all coping with that. It is the day after the NBA season. So for at least half of NBA fans, you know. But anyways, it's good that you at least evoked, brought into existence via just, you know, speculation, a horrible tragedy. So that's at least good. How are you doing, Jason? It's been a while.
It's fine. I become a TikTok influencer.
Mm, I've noticed.
Because, yeah, I realized a couple months ago, around in August, that I had to be on there because the audiences elsewhere were just dying off. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to watch that happen to Facebook, too, to see, like, you know, their engagement
right?
just fall and that
the
stock price just fall.
Facebook.
Yeah, they've done so much for us. But anyway, so that's, I could spend the entire show talking about that because it is, TikTok is unique in that there's no, like, you can't hire somebody to run a TikTok for you unless you do like a face-off situation because it's got to be your face, your voice. It's not, you're not posting just, you know, like some comedians get a Twitter where all it is some bot posting the tour dates, stuff like that.
Right.
Well, TikTok, they don't show it to anybody unless it's your face, your voice. It is the entire point of the app. It's not for uploading funny clips. It's not for anything else. It is your face and your voice. So suddenly, after spending much of my career, like not even wanting people to see me and then not wanting people to hear me and then like joining your podcast, like, well, that's fine. It's just my voice. Now it's like, no, you are judged based on how you look that day. Your physical attractiveness will to some degree play into how your future books sell.
Right. It's a great world that has been
personal charisma.
Yeah. You didn't have any fun with it, like try like a mask or like a mustache. So at least you're physically present and it is your voice, but you've obscured your sort of appearance.
If that is a thing people can do, I guess that is, I could have done that.
It's like Jason with the Jason mask or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're like, yo, this Jason's actually really insightful.
And then that way I could in fact just hire some intern to put on the mask and post for me.
There you go. And then you just got an audio track. I'm just telling you.
What is something from your search history?
My recent search history?
Yeah, just whatever you're willing to divulge.
Well, before the grimness of this last week, and I want to avoid that week's very dark search history, but I was most recently Googling and surprised to find that The First Wives Club, which is an old movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was actually about presidents' wives, as I thought it was. Mm. And it turns out it's not. It's about...
the first wife that was divorced from the wealthy
Correct.
Guy.
And how those first wives got together and exacted revenge.
Oh, okay.
Which is like a way more fun movie premise. And I was delighted to find that this was the case because it kept being promoted to me because I've been watching a lot of like... I can't watch anything new. It's too much to process. I've been watching like When Harry Met Sally, Legally Blonde, Clueless. Mm-hmm. And
you've
this
got
kept,
mail, maybe.
You've Got Mail. This kept getting promoted to me. And I was like, why would I want to watch this movie? And then it turns out, oh my God, it's perfect.
Barbara Bush and Nancy Reagan start robbing banks together, like a set it off type scenario.
But Tipper Gore can't get in the crew.
Right.
A lot of tension there.
Yeah.
Oh, I kind of like first wives, that like that version.
Did
of
you not
it.
Watch that film?
I didn't watch that film. No,
I just remember the posters because they were all wearing white, like they were their outfits. There was like the marketing was like, here we are, because Goldie Hawn and Diane Keaton and Bette Midler, right? I think are the three. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if they're all wearing white, doesn't that make you think that it's about
ghosts?
I don't know, suffragette. Ghosts.
We went two different. It was either suffrage or ghosts.
Or ghosts.
Or
ghosts. Well, that's what, like, I was trying to picture, like, a club made up of first, you know, the first women, first ladies of the, from U.S. history. And, like, I feel like to get any sort of critical mass, you would have to go to the afterlife. So that's where my mind went, was ghosts.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, look, it turns out we were all wrong.
Right.
And it's about women exacting revenge for being divorced
from beyond the grave. What is something that will stick with you, George? What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, I have a really good answer for this, not to brag. I think that something that is overrated is oral histories.
Okay. Yeah.
I just like don't like it, there's something about it where like either do the work and write a book.
Right.
Or just kind of like do a tweet. Like to do an oral history of the, you know, of the Office episode where Jim and Pam go to the supermarket. Like, I don't care. I don't need to like have quotes from a writer that was like, and then in the room, they someone said, what if they go to the supermarket? And we said, no, they can't do that. That's crazy. I don't need that.
And it's very like loosely edited. So it makes sense that you as an editor would be anti this because,
I guess
it's
that's
like,
true. I didn't
what about
that
a
way.
Less readable, just kind of loose grouping of source quotes?
Right.
For, yeah. And it's also sometimes like, it, you know, if there's like an episode of a show you like, actually, the best thing you could do is just rewatch that episode. You don't need an oral history of how it came to be. Wow.
Where are you going to get the tidbits? Where are you going to get the tidbits, though?
It broke new ground saying it was a grocery store. I mean, when I saw that they were going to the grocery store, I fucking lost my mind. So
sometimes an app is so like out of left field. It's not like it's like a good app. You're more like, wait, why did this happen? Right. Like I'm talking about like the dinosaurs at like series finale. Do you remember? I mean, it was like this kid's
with
show,
the
and then
hits?
Like suddenly it was about like all of the dinosaurs were getting exterminated by comets. That was a metaphor for global warming, and it was like, whoa. Me at 8 years old did not need to see this.
Yeah. I'm like, what happened to Nocta Mama?
Right.
Like, that's what
Nocta Mama is gone. They all died.
I know, but I mean, that's what we were there for. We were there for like the Henson light of it, right? Now, rather than like the yo, y'all fucked up narrative.
Right.
Yeah. So that, I do understand the need for an oral history, but also, George, love and respect your opinions as always.
Thank you. Yeah, reading them, like, I could, again, like, if we're taking it for face, like, literally, like, let me hear it. Okay, that's one thing. But reading it is like,
I feel like I'm high
reading Cormac McCarthy or something.
Yeah, well, it's just like, it's better in theory than in practice. You click on these things and they're like 17,000 words long and you're like, I don't know. I mean,
Find the good quote for us and like bring it to the front like a journalist. Like pretend you're a journalist. I don't know. Pretend you have an editor and this is a journalistic institution.
I don't know. Here's this interview I did with that guy.
Yeah.
Listen to it.
Yeah. Like the true story behind the dinosaurs episode maybe is like one really good quote.
Yeah. I think we can all agree that's the one we need.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like couldn't we just call DJ Daniel right now? Because
my uncle actually wrote on dinosaurs. And
really?
Just call him. Get the oral history right now.
Right now? Should we do it?
Hey, what the fuck was up with that, man?
Just like, and now he works for a environmental nonprofit. So he had. I think before that he was pro oil industry, and then as that episode came together
and now he's actually
like,
one of the girls who threw soup at the Van Gogh painting.
Throws that's what his
he was taking video does. He likes to be behind the scenes now.
Yeah, so,
they feel very strongly about soup based protest.
Yeah
It's very specific. Sam, what's something you think is overrated?
Okay, I think good acting is overrated. I don't believe in acting as an art form. I think it's on the director to sort of make it make sense, sort of like cast properly, and like I think everyone has a different little special sauce, but I'm always like, no, when someone is like bad at acting in a movie, I'm like, that's not their fault. They don't know what the hell's going on. Like, it's on the director to tell them what.
Yo,
how
put them in this shit. Right.
Yeah.
That's like, a coach putting the worst player on the bench into the starting like lineup when you're like, you know, that's not the best player, right? It's like, he's going to get butts in the seats. So fuck it. Like, and we know that. That's what I feel like. Does Harry Styles kind of fit into that? That's how I feel about Harry Styles. Like, he's someone who just. They're like, hey, man, you should act. He's like, I guess. And everyone's like, boo. Yeah.
I think he's set up to fail. But I also just think anyone that's like good at acting, like they just have like a lot of times they have like 10 little tricks. Like it's like, I can make my lip twitch like this, or like I can.
Right.
I really, it's something I, for some reason, I do not believe in. I'm just always like, yeah, I guess. Like,
Sam is not really an actress gay.
Mm. I see.
No, I'm not an actress.
He's more
gay.
Of a pop star gay.
Got it.
Yeah.
And I would say because... I'm more of an actress. I do actually appreciate what Sam is saying because I do think we celebrate acting too much. But but I will be the person who's like blown away by a performance, and then I'm like, right. Have you seen Cate Blanchett in Tar?
Right. That was actually the thing that jumped to my mind, even though I haven't seen it. That seems to be the performance that everybody is like, that this, if you're going to go to a movie to watch a performance this year, that's the one to do it for.
And but based also on very well directed. So
right.
You know, in Sam's words. Not her. It's the man.
Right.
It's the man.
It's Todd Field. Yeah. Give it up.
Interesting. But yeah, I'm going to see Tar tonight. So hopefully Cate teaches me the power of acting.
Right. There you go.
Or just make a scene and be like, I honestly don't get it, y'all. She's waving a stick around for most of the movie.
It does seem listen, I liked the performance a lot. I do think when she's doing the stick stuff, she could tone it down a bit.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It's a lot. It's very exaggerated stick acting.
Wow.
But does that go for all conductors? I've had that thought every time. Every single time I've seen a conductor, I've been like, you could take it down.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
About 20 notches.
I remember I played in a youth orchestra, like a youth symphony growing up, because I was like super into playing trumpet as a kid. And the conductor of that youth symphony was so fucking pretentious. Like, it's like he... to your point, it's like he has been like watching mixtapes of other conductors of symphonies and being like, that's the shit you got to get on. Like, you got to have nasty long hair, be sweating, and like just over, like just big animated movements. And he was like a nightmare of a person. So I give it up to the low-key conductors.
With a lot of conductors, it does feel like, you know, are you doing this dramatic movement for us, the orchestra, or are you doing it for you, the conductor? Like, are you trying to... like prove your own importance, or are you trying to like keep us in time? And
right. Part of it, I get, like if there's a crescendo, right, and the certain section isn't giving it to you enough, you got to like really gesture, like, yo, this is fortissimo, you know, y'all playing mezzo forte type shit. But I don't know. Sometimes it does seem like they're doing a solo on it, like how a rock, like Santana would do a rock solo on a guitar.
Right.
And like, oh, fuck, man. Yeah. Like in the middle of it. Like, okay, you're
coming for 15 minutes.
Yeah. Or like Esty Heim, not to bring it back to one of Sam's least favorite musicians.
Yeah.
But Esty Heim's bass face, as they call it.
That bass face is wild. As a baby, I also played bass, and I was just like, yo, she's feeling it up there.
Is there a bad performance that you, or something that was like noted for being a bad performance that just like didn't bother you, that you'd like ride for?
I mean, it's hard to tell what people actually think of the quality of this performance, but Gaga's performance in House of Gucci is like funny in a way that I just love. Like, it's like, you don't need to be like good. You need to be like just giving me something. And it's like, that is giving me something. That is something to chew on.
I don't know what it is, but it's something.
That entire movie was like a structural critique of the concept of acting.
100%.
Yeah. What good acting is? Well, this is the most entertaining movie you've seen this year. And we are doing like just the most ridiculous. We are making fun of the idea of acting up here. We hope you're good with that. And I was. I even liked Jared Leto's performance. I thought
Jared
that
was
hilarious.
My God. He was maybe amazing. His best performance to date.
I was like, thank you for this. I needed this.
He should. I stand by my statement that character should be the voice of Mario in the new Mario.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, agree. you know who was not good in that movie? Adam Driver, who was trying to be a good actor. He needed to put that aside.
Read the
and
room,
just
fam.
Be Halloween.
Yeah. No, we came here to be spooky, not accurate.
Right.
Yeah. Jeremy Irons doing like a completely different accent. I was like, yes, you are British. Just be British. Who cares?
Yeah, fuck it.
Right. Oh, man. What is something that you guys think is underrated? Mark, how about you?
This actually just came to me just now, but I was thinking about, and this is very specific, but I was thinking specifically about Charles Barkley's performance in Space Jam. I know it's a Michael Jordan vehicle. However, of the basketball players in the movie, I feel of the NBA players, he gives the most like real grounded performance. He's one of the basketball players that has his powers stolen by the Monstars.
Yeah.
And he, you see him going to a doctor and people don't believe him that his skills have been taken away. And so he actually has like a real arc where he's like, he starts out, he's Charles Barkley. I mean, outside of Michael Jordan, he's one of the best ones doing it. And then one day he cannot do what he is meant to do. And on top of that, people don't believe him for the reason why. And then suddenly his skills and talents come back. Honestly, I feel like if you were to make another Space Jam, just Space Jam from his perspective,
yeah,
and going deeper into that would be like an intriguing story. So,
right.
Yeah. That and robes are also underrated, I feel, just like as a garment.
Okay, yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
Could you imagine,
yeah, the humanity of that film?
Like, of right. like he's like, but they don't understand. I'm telling them what happened.
Yeah.
It's like the diving bell and the butterfly or some shit about,
yeah.
it's like,
yeah.
you could never fathom what this person is going through.
Right.
There's this yeah. movie, Safe, that was like one of the first Julianne Moore like starring movies. And it's all about her having an illness that like won't be diagnosed by modern medicine, but like it's super real to her, and that it's just like her journey through this thing that people are like, it's psychological, like you're losing it. And then, you know, it doesn't have a happy ending. It's just that it stays there. But that's something that like people struggle with is, yeah, you know,
right.
there's what is it? The syndrome where you're like, constantly just exhausted, chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yeah,
right. And like that's one where they're like, "Yeah, man, we don't really know." Sorry.
Well, and also so much of our medical system is also doctors being like, "Well, I get over it. The thing yeah. you're actually in here right. for." And like, what?
Yeah,
I'm physically experiencing this. Like, all right, yeah.
More on that later.
Yeah, like people right, with the cold. When you, like you were saying with the cold, people being like, "I'm cold," you know?
Right. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just say, look, they're cold. They lost their basketball skills. Believe them.
Yeah.
Believe yeah, Charles believe Barkley. Him. And he, I mean, I do think he is somebody who we've seen is okay with being vulnerable, like, you know, even in his personal life, like, yeah. and on TNT, like, will admit when he fucks up, and that maybe that was like an early look at Charles Barkley's vulnerability gear.
Yeah. Oscar in the future for Charles. Yeah, Barkley. We just need a brave enough director.
That's it's the real coming. Tarantino like reclamation project. That is like Charles Barkley just stars. Right. Yeah,
he is our yeah. he is our new Sidney Poitier.
Bill, what's something you think is underrated?
I'm, you know, being from Atlanta, I think Atlanta is underrated, way underrated. I love Atlanta, Mark. I was born in Atlanta. I can only claim living in Atlanta since the third grade, but I claim Atlanta. Okay. I mean,
that's good enough.
So many things about Atlanta that I love. We got low cost of living. We got excellent weather. What do we don't have? We don't have forest fires. We don't have droughts. We don't have to worry about the oceans getting too big. We're not too close to the oceans.
Right.
We are the city in the forest. We have more tree canopy than any other city in the entire nation. 48% of Atlanta is trees. Parks everywhere. So many things. I feel like sometimes people just think of Atlanta and their only experience is going through our airport, which I also love, because if I need to go anywhere, I can pretty much get there on a direct flight.
That's right. Because of Delta.
Including like Korea, you know, like it doesn't matter. So always been a huge fan of ATL, and our comedy and art scene here is so great and underrated. And yeah, y'all.
That's great, man. That was both convincing and made me mad.
Wait,
at you. Go ahead, Miles.
What? Sorry, just as like drought god, I'm like, hold on. Didn't you guys have a drought in like 2007 that was like fucked up?
We did. We did have a drought, definitely.
Okay, like, I'm just saying, like, I feel like I've heard drought in Atlanta in the same sentence before, but that's I'm just a salty desert person who's living in a place where water shouldn't exist. So that's just my own insecurities coming up.
Truly,
so,
no. If you lick Miles' skin, he's very salty. He doesn't get enough water.
Yeah.
You know, we had one for sure. And then, you know, they've created a couple, they've actually done things to hopefully help prevent, like the reservoir.
What?
I don't know if you watch Stranger Things, but that big.
Yeah.
That's now a reservoir where they filmed
that documentary.
Giant reservoir. So hopefully we're okay, though. I don't know, man. Like with climate change, you know, right now I feel like we've missed the
the bullet for a lot of these crazy phenomenon going on with storms and droughts and things. But something's going to come our way.
Yeah.
I just hope it's not as bad as what's happening everywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've got movies made out here. Can you say that for Atlanta? Oh,
yeah, well, you know what? We won the World Series in the last few. Fuck. What else?
90s classic rap albums were made in.
Fuck. We got better hot. No, I'm not even going to say we have hot wings in LA. Fuck that. No, you guys win. You win.
What are the wings like out west? Is that? They
just eat buffalo wings, like hot wings. Like they're not. There's a few places like people like to go in the city or whatever. But mm-hmm. there's the culture around seasoning hot wings, like in the mainstream hot wing restaurants mm-hmm. you go to, like that. People are like, whoa, this new hot wing place opened up. Mm-hmm. They're not doing it right, and they're just okay. Yeah. Sadly, you know, I don't know what else to say. You know,
yeah.
They fully exist.
Yeah. We do not have like, you know, we don't have JR Crickets. You know what I mean? Like, right. We don't have a thing where you're like, go to blah, 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 blah. It's like, you right, know, yeah. If you're like a comedian, they'll go to Ye Olde Rustic in Los Feliz during right. karaoke night. But they're just like straightforward chicken wings. I don't know. They don't do it for me.
Mm-hmm. They don't have lemon pepper wet. That's not a thing out there.
No. I mean, although people are now doing that because, like, wing culture is starting to, like, be appropriated, I think, here. And people okay. are like, hey, wing you're the lemon pepper wings? Sure. Yeah.
Oh, good.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back, and a couple pieces of evidence hitting the media that suggest what I think most of us assumed all along, which is that Trump knew he lost the election from before the election, you know, that it was actually closer than the media thought, and apparently it was closer than he thought it was going to be. And they had the plan to claim that the election was stolen and, you know, yada, yada, yada. He gets to stay president. And within that yada, 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 there has to be some January 6th type event, right? You don't just get to, you know, imagine your way into remaining president. So, yeah, the past few days, I've just repeatedly been reminded of that Michael Che as Lester Holt sketch where he's just like, I think at the time it was actually Trump admitting he fired Comey because of the Russia investigation.
Right.
And Che was like, wait, so did I get him? Is this all over? And then he like gets a thing in his earpiece and he's like, no, I didn't. Nothing matters. Absolutely nothing matters. And in that. Yeah. So, I mean, we've come a long way since thinking that him admitting that he fired James Comey because he was investigating Russia seemed like a gotcha moment. Like now it's just smoking guns raining out of the sky and like you need to take shelter from all the smoking guns because it's just, yeah, we like it's not even a question of like whether he did something wrong. It's like whether he knowingly did something wrong and had like premeditated it and will be able to like prove it in a court of law. So he's not allowed to run for president again.
Right.
And it seems like maybe. So the January 6th committee just played footage of Steve Bannon saying he's going to declare victory, but that doesn't mean he's a winner. He's just going to say he's a winner, which is a pretty accurate description of what Trump did. But that audio is from Halloween night before the election. So like 4 nights before the election happened.
Wasn't there also talk that he was trying to declare victory before the election even happened?
I'm not like, sure. Like the... So
there was all kinds of harebrained ideas that he was throwing out there, I think, in pursuit of this, like, basically, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. This is going to be El City or something.
Right.
Where one of them was like, just to preemptively be like, nah, one. And they're like, that's like,
so that's not how voting works.
So that's not how any of it works. But right. Okay.
There's also Roger Stone told Trump supporters on November 1st that the election would likely remain too close to call on election night. The key thing to do is to claim victory. Possession is 9/10 of the law, which
have you seen that clip
of Stone saying that? No,
of Roger's dude. He's a fly dude. I got to find this. He's fucking off his shit. Like so violent. He's like, fuck you. We won. Blah, 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 blah. Hold on, I'm going to find this clip because it's really something when you hear it.
That's the one on November 1st? Because this one is before the election happened.
Yeah, there's one where he's talking to like these dudes and like outside of his car about the 9/10 of the law thing. And he goes on to say like, it's 9/10, like, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law. We won, fuck you, try and do something about it. We'll fucking fight you kind of a thing. And they kind of just sort of clip out the whole, oh, I got to find it. Okay, here we go. Now we can hear it. So this is November 1st.
We're celebrating. Yeah. I suspect it'll be, I really do suspect it will still be up in the air. But when that happens, the key thing to do is to claim victory. Possession is 9/10 of the law. No, we won. Fuck you. Sorry, over. We won. Yeah. You're wrong. Fuck you.
Like that was him like rallying him up. Like, and that's the talking to these people who are, you know, basically like they're far right goons on the ground to just sort of seed this idea of like, just fucking run with this. And don't worry about what the fuck they say. Like, this is like, and I think just saying like, doesn't matter if we won or lost, because at the end of the day, we're not fucking leaving. So fuck you.
There were emails flying around from advisors like October 31st. Again, we had an election day today and I won is his suggested remarks, even though they're like anticipating losing or it being too close to call. Greg Jacob, who was vice president Pence's counsel learned days before Election Day from Pence's chief of staff, Mark Short, that Trump planned to prematurely announce that he had won. So it's like everybody right. knew this. Robert Costa tweeted Thursday he had seen texts from that night from some aides indicating they realized declaring victory was Trump's plan and that White House lawyers were alarmed, but presumably not alarmed enough to do shit. Speaking of not alarmed That's... enough to do shit, Secret Service apparently knew about January 6th and that they were going to try and assassinate Mike Pence on January 6th, like ahead of the event. That's another thing that is being indicated by
not really worried
more
about
evidence.
It. Yeah. I think, you know, like in that line of like White House lawyers were alarmed, like, no, they weren't. But thank you for adding that into your journalism to try and like give them some cover. Like if right, they, exactly. we would have seen much more massive follow-up. But either way, I mean, as we've seen from the trial and then even Trump's response to them, you know, being like, well, I think we need to subpoena him. It's everything has been clear from the second he was even questioning the like voter fraud in the summer of 2020. And I don't like I understand they've done their work. We've done like we've reached night nine of Coachella at this point. We've closed it out. But I'm just like, where the fuck is this going? That's it. Are you actually going to reform the laws to like protect something like this from happening again, to like have more rigid legal structures that someone can't just be like, fuck you, it's 9/10 of the law? Or is it just going to be a thing where it's like, I don't know, we tried, y'all, and now the Republicans have taken over the House and all they're going to do is start all kinds of committees and shit just to flood the zone with bogus like investigations to just prop Trump up for 2024. Like, that seems like what the plan is now.
Yeah. And I don't see anything in the playbook that suggests that's not going to work. Like, I don't know what the January 6th committee is going to do that would suggest that that's going to work. Like, I still think there is this part of their brain that is still stuck in, like, you know, mainstream Democrat thinking where they were the ones who tried to help Trump win the Republican primary because they thought he was going to be easy to beat. Like, I still think they're like, mm-hmm. well, you know, if Trump is the nominee, that wouldn't be all bad for us because he's going to be like convicted of all these things or like easily convictable in the court of public opinion. And it's like, you don't understand how little of a shit people give about that who are inclined to support him. And like, it's just, we're still in the position where, you know, Republicans aren't going to do shit to stop this. And, you know, the only alternative to the mainstream, like, we'll let the market handle it, corporations are the ones actually making the decisions option that we've been running with for the past, you know, however many decades, is fascism. Like, that they're going to run that. And I don't know. It still is very scary. It's pretty dark times, I guess.
I think it's pretty cool.
I think, you know, it's pretty
neat. Maybe we'll see the end of this fucked up experiment in this country. But yeah, it's, you know, we continue to just like look at these like existential threats like directly in the eye. And I'm just kind of like feeling like that Lester Holt thing, like, all right, so what?
So no? Nothing matters
not even
anymore?
That.
Got it.
And I think the most Republicans would do is just not be so forceful in defending him. And I think they if they are going to let, you know, try and purge him, it's going to be very passive. And it'll be in the hopes that he's just fucked himself over legally to the point that they're like, yeah, like, we're not going to really come to your aid, but we're not going to rah-rah the left either. And right. just let that happen. Like, you know, because luckily the Supreme Court like rejected hearing, you know, his attempt to overturn that decision in the documents case.
Right.
So
the special minister Gambit. Yeah. And also like what they say doesn't really matter because, again, there's no energy behind mainstream Democrats or mainstream Republicans. The energy is behind Trump. So I don't know. It's also it ties to this next story about Fetterman v. Oz and like some of the like the knives coming out for John Fetterman. This is somebody who's, you know, outside of the mainstream and got some actual energy.
Ish.
Yeah, like ish.
I mean, I'm not going to paint him as like some far left
He has half a foot outside of the mainstream. But
right.
It's enough to have gotten energy and gotten people excited supporting him. And it just feels like they don't have the appetite to protect him or like do the things they normally do to get people elected, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, right now, like, obviously, you know, the polling has had John Fetterman in the lead because people are like, yeah, OK, clearly as a binary, people are like, I like Fetterman over this Hollywood goon. But his lead has been shrinking. We've been talking about that thanks to, like, you know, fear mongering around crime and, you know, having journalists like equivocate recovering from a stroke to like being a sociopath that may not deserve to be in office or like incapable of holding office.
Right.
And a lot of observers of this Senate race have said, like, look, it's clear right now that Oz's tactic is shifting to try and suppress the black vote, like bringing up like this, you know, when Fetterman pulled like a shotgun on a black jogger because he thought like, oh, this might be someone involved in this like other crime. And a lot of people are like, OK, Fetterman, like, that's not the best look for you, homie. But he said, look, I was a mistake, blah, blah, blah. It seemed that the people who were supporting him had moved past it. But like a few groups have been dumping millions of dollars into like amplifying that or, you know, this just the general optics around Oz being a more like I'm down with the black community type energy. And it's interesting because half of it isn't necessarily that Oz is trying to court the black vote. He's also just trying to suppress the black vote because it won't to not turn out for Fetterman. Because if you look at exit polls from 2020, you know, black people made up around 11% of the electorate. Joe Biden got 92% of that vote. Donald Trump got 7% of that. So I think, you know, if you're playing the strict numbers game of your, you know, 50% plus one math that all the people in the campaigns are doing, you have to find those margins to try and shave off to eke out your win. So last month in September, Oz went like all in on showing the black community he understands the plight. And he had an event in Philly where this black woman comes up and they were saying he was holding like a Safer Streets type meeting to talk about gun violence in the city. And this black woman, you know, she's holding a poster of some of her family members who had succumbed to gun violence. And I'll just play this for you because this was like a moment where like the local news covered it as like just sort of like a like this campaign event that Dr. Oz was throwing.
What his campaign called a Safer Streets community discussion, where Armstrong shared the story of losing both her brother, who was shot on his porch, and a nephew.
My nephew at the time of his murder was only 14 years old. I'm honestly angry and fed up with the system. I'm fed up with the system that is playing politics with the lives of us that live in these communities.
So Dr. Oz in that thing, he's like looking at her. He's like, oh, wow. Like there's a photo that like the newspaper ran where she's in tears and he's like consoling her. The AP wrote this as, this is what they're reporting. As Sheila Armstrong grew emotional in recounting how her brother and nephew were killed in Philadelphia, Dr. Mehmet Oz sitting next to her inside a black church, their chairs arranged a bit like his former daytime TV show set, placed a comforting hand on her shoulder. Later, he gave her a hug and said, how do you cope? And they just ran with that. OK, the problem with all this is that this woman, Sheila Jackson, is a paid staffer for Dr. Oz. Like she's not someone from the community. She works on the campaign. She was sharing pics on her Instagram of her new Oz campaign business cards about how she's like organizing like the Philadelphia County like organizer type thing. And if you look at the FEC filings, the Federal Election Commission, she's receiving payroll payments. Like she's like they got receipts. Like you are being funded by Dr. Oz. And this is just so fucked up because I'm not sure what her motives are, but Oz definitely knows what the fuck he is doing here because he is using like black bodies as props to like make himself seem like he gives a fuck about the community. And we see this all the time with politicians. Like I still haven't forgotten Kente Cloth Fest at the Capitol Rotunda in 2020 with the Democrats. Like I still haven't, like this is just, it's just his virtue signaling without any action. And the wild shit is, for all the Dr. Oz, oh my God, honey, how do you cope with the gun violence? Listen to his answer when the local reporters again are asking, they're like, hey, man, can we ask you about like what your plan is with, I don't know, fucking gun control?
about something not in the plan he put out today.
One thing that your plan does not talk about is guns, gun violence. What can voters expect from you on that? Would you oppose any additional gun restrictions?
He was just in this church talking with this woman, talking about, oh, the plight of gun violence, right? Like using that for emotional points. And then they're just asked, okay, so what's your platform?
Well, we have a new gun law. And I'd like to see what happens with it. I'm happy that we have a lot of money for mental health in there. And that's a big problem for violence way beyond guns. But I tell you, most of...
I'm sorry, what?
That's a big problem for violence way beyond guns.
That's his fucking plan. You know what I mean? Like, this is... It's just, like, so disingenuous on its face that you're going to then use this woman's, like, legitimate loss of family to then go out there and be like, I don't know, gun control. I don't know, man. I just said that just so like I could, you know, embrace like this crying
like
woman of color.
Moments later.
Gun control. Yeah, I don't give a fuck, man. Like, let it rock.
Yeah.
I feel like he should have like, if he's going to go as far as to like have like somebody on his payroll to like tell their story. Like, I'm like, you should have just like gotten paid like an interviewer, you know, to ask you those questions after and be like, just like throw softballs at you.
Right. Yeah. Go full Stalin, you know?
Yeah, if you're gonna
right.
Paint this, like, alternative reality.
I mean, you know, a lot of people were noticing, too, like, even at that church event, there was this one state, like, local representative. That event was happening in his district as a state legislator, and he wasn't invited, so he had to, like, force his way in to see what was going on. He's like, yo, y'all are in my community. Like, what's going on here? And he showed... There were more journalists there than people participating in this event. You know what I mean? Like, and the media didn't cover that. Like, they were just showing that side of it. This guy was showing the reverse view of like the people that were like on this quote unquote panel. Looking back, there are maybe three people seated, and a lot of people noticed that some of the other people of color that have been involved in these events, like you've seen in like campaign ads and things like that. So it's just this like, you know, just very lazy way of like astroturfing or pretending you have some kind of legitimate alignment with a given community. But it's like at this time, like a lot of people are like, hey, Dr. Oz, what's up with that? Haven't heard a comment back yet, but it won't matter because, you know, the hypocrisy doesn't really matter to the right. But it's just a stark reminder of how like continue to use like people as props, communities as props, like a much larger issue. It can be any given issue that we see all this like disingenuous, like, oh man, I'm with you, but where are your votes? What right. legislation are you backing? Like, who are you taking money from and what are their aims when it comes to gun violence or affordable
housing?
Well, we
got a new gun law and there's a lot of stuff in there about mental health and that. Like just,
oh, my bad. I asked.
Couldn't be
no,
more
no. What
vague.
What's on your platform? What can people expect from your platform, Dr. Oz? Not existing legislation.
I think I read about something with mental illness. Anyways, I'm going over to Geno's to prove that I have been to Philadelphia
and Pat's,
and I'll be at Geno's and Pat's holding up today's issue of the newspaper. So that you can tell that I was, in fact, here on the dates in question. Thank you.
Hey.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Hey, I just want to practice my Philadelphia accent with you guys. Go Eagles. All right.
Like, that's been Dr. Oz.
Well, Fetterman's already been slamming him. He's like, this guy's a Cowboys fan. He doesn't support the Eagles. and people were like responding to again, like, it's just such a bizarre race trying to figure out, you know, at the end, what is going to actually win out, what message is going to win. But,
right,
you know, if you continue like this sensational shit around people suffering for, you know, campaign points.
Right.
And just, again, I mean, nothing new, but just, my God, just so fucking lazy. Like people like your campaign staffers.
Right.
Yeah. I remember when they used to just get people off the street and give them money. What happened to that day of wrangling fake support for a campaign?
The good old days.
Good old days when you just have voting parties and get everybody drunk and then make them vote for you.
Right.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the police.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back, and Jason, your new book, as the title suggests, is about the multiverse, right? A multiverse, different universes.
Yeah, there's an element of that in there.
Yeah,
which I'm not saying that I was ahead of the curve on this. It does take like 3 years to get a novel from idea to the world. So the fact that there's like 9 movies about multiverses in the last year.
One of those where you're like, oh,
this fucking, it's in the title? Fuck.
Yeah. Because already I have a book that if I describe it, it comes off as like, oh, so it's like a book version of Rick and Morty.
Right.
It's like these two, it's like this guy, and he's kind of crass, and but also there's weird stuff coming from other universes, and that you're always like dissecting some sort of a sci-fi a trope in some horrible way. And
yeah,
it's a very profane sense of humor. It's like, okay, listen, I started writing this in like 2000. This is
right.
The people who write Rick and Morty have not even been born when I started writing this. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been like fun multiverse stuff in your books. So that just made me want to, like, I think a lot about the multiverse. Do you think of it as like a fun plot device to play with, or is it a actual like scientific theory you take seriously? How do you think about it?
So I have read books about the many worlds interpretation of physics. And by books, I mean, I have watched two TikToks from Hank Green explain it, of course, about 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah. I will have. Oh, they're long ones. Those are long ones. Wow. Okay.
I do not understand, because the multiverse, the way it's presented in Hollywood, where it's like sliding doors, where it's human decisions that cause realities to split, that's not the theory. That would be extremely weird if the entire universe, all the particles in the universe, pivoted on human decision making and this one animal on this one planet. That would be very strange. It is a very complicated thing where every particle in the universe, I guess, and you start getting into wave functions. I guess you have to know what a wave function is for this to make sense, and that it collapses in like infinite ways. So there's like every time a particle enters into a quantum state, it splits the universe again. So there's, when you say there's infinite universes, it's literally trillions upon trillions upon trillions of universes, and that there's no way to like travel from one to the next. So the theory in my mind exists just as nonsense, kind of like trying to figure out how time travel would work, which is the answer is that it wouldn't.
Right.
But as a plot device, it's fantastic. Ooh, baby. for the same reason that time travel is, because it is usually, and the film that Everything Everywhere All at Once, what that film did so well, that's what multiverse movies are about, which is they're about regret. And it's about wondering, like, what kind of life you could have lived. And same thing with most time travel plots. That's what it is. You're going back and trying to change something. And then in the course of it, you learn something about yourself. And this is why usually when in the movie they start explaining the science of the time travel or the science of the multiverse, they usually skip over it, because that's not the point. These are stories about people, and it works as a plot device because it's about, well, what would have happened if it turned out that the Spider-Men from the different franchises all existed actually in parallel universes, and they all had slightly different methods, and then they all met each other.
Yeah.
You get a movie that I could barely follow and I did not find very interesting at all. But I'm glad other people enjoyed that Spider-Man.
But you're talking about the not the animated Spider-Verse one. You're talking about the latest
one with all the, why can I not remember the names of any of the Spider-Man actors?
Tom Holland?
Tom Collins mix.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And, you know, Topher Grace, right? From that 70s show.
Use Garfield. A real name. Don't make up to Topher. Please. Come on. Imagine an actor being named Topher.
Can't.
Hey, he took the other part of Christopher, man. That's like, he's just like, when you zig, that guy zags. And that's what's cool about him.
There's some ethnic background to that name that we're actually saying something incredibly insensitive. We apologize. Topher is actually, if it actually has important meaning in some ethnicity, we meant no harm by that. But anyway, back to what I was saying. No, I love it as a plot device. In terms of, you know, is it real? It is my understanding, according to what I just read on Wikipedia 30 minutes ago, that the many worlds interpretation is believed by a majority of physicists. They actually did a poll. And something like 70%, like, because I guess the alternate explanation of why particles behave the way they do is even weirder than the many worlds interpretation, where it's just like, no, it all exists simultaneously. And that's why when you try to observe them, there's a curious thing where it like collapses into a waveform of your reality, but it could just as easily have been another state. It's every attempt to explain it, people will say, look, we're going to make it very, very simple. We're going to explain it like you're 5. I apparently need it explained like I'm 3.
Right. Yeah.
Because it totally loses me. It's the same thing when a physicist on YouTube or somewhere is trying to explain how the universe is always expanding. And then you ask the obvious question, well, what is it expanding into?
Right.
And they're like, well, nothing. It's like, well, okay.
Throw a smoke bomb down and exit the room. But like ineffectively, like when a physicist tries to use a smoke bomb to exit the room, it takes like 3 smoke bombs.
So it's a thing where I guess if you try to use what you know about the world to understand it, you're immediately lost because it just doesn't line up with anything you understand about how physics works or anything.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like the when you get down to a quantum level, like particles start doing two different things at the same time. That was it for me. I was like, all right, so I don't know. My brain, when I was on too many drugs as a teenager, my brain actually was right about everything, it turns out. And that I would need to get back on that many drugs to understand or even like conceive of this. And that's not good for me. So I'm not going to do that. I'll leave it to the physicists and to Jason Pargin to write about it.
Smart. Smart.
People do understand that, like, the times you see, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson, like, his whole Twitter is just, like, complaining that movies, like, that their science is wrong or whatever.
Yeah. He's, like, comic book guy.
you do understand that whenever you have a plot device like this, it's always just an excuse to tell a human story, and that no writer actually cares about the science stuff. And even stories that seem like they're very based in research, like The Martian, there's probably a million reasons why that story could not actually have happened the way it's depicted. It's just, you know, it's ultimately is about, you know, loneliness and isolation and having to overcome it and hope and all that stuff. But people care about it. Stories, people like stories because they are about people, not because they are about physics.
Right. I remember people were like, actually, that's not how you'd get water on Mars. I felt was like the one science take when The Martian came out. It's like, that's not how you would actually do it on Mars. But go off, Matt Damon. Go off, then.
I only trust Matt Damon when it comes to crypto. I don't.
Thank you.
Nowhere else. Just
fortune favors the broke.
Yeah.
Or the bold.
And just very, very briefly, I'm not going to go off on this. Listeners, if you hear about an investment opportunity in a commercial at the Super Bowl, you're not getting in on the ground floor. Right.
This is
the people who are currently holding the bag are trying to get rid of it, and they're trying to lure in rubes to buy the asset that they know is about to go bad. See, if it was like a gold mine already, they wouldn't tell you about it.
Right.
They would just collect the gold for themselves. The moment they pay millions of dollars to try to get you into crypto, they were trying to get you to hold the bag, and then the price immediately collapsed after that.
Yeah.
That was on purpose.
When the thing they're selling is nothing, be a little wary of that, because it doesn't add the whole. I feel like at this point, so much of the market has broken down into Ponzi schemes. Like, it's just all, So be wary.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.